Well, welcome to Straight Talk. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk to you about the kingdom of God. And today's topic is core to finding the kingdom, seeking the kingdom, being a part of the kingdom. It is what we should be doing. And we're going to do about 5.5 hours of radio broadcast today. And this is one of the places where you can call in. You can also call in on Freedomizer. And hopefully eventually we'll get it so you can call in on all the shows. And we'll answer some of your questions, which many of you should have. But today, as I said, we're going to talk about CORE. I used to write that C-O-R, CORE, Congregation of Record. And we could have made it Congregation of Testimony or whatever. But we decided on Congregation of Record, because your record is your testimony, and that's how we establish it. That's how you establish all governments, including self-governments, free governments, and any other governments, is by the personal testimony of the individuals involved in being that government, of the people, for the people, and by the people. And that's how you've created the government in your own countries, for the most part. In the United States, a lot of people think that the government that we have today started with the Constitution of the United States. It actually did not. It was in existence long before that. But it morphed slightly with the Constitution of the United States, and it involved men signing papers. And they signed a paper that said, "We the people." And "we the people" referred to the people who signed the document, because they only had authority to sign the document for themselves. And they were core to the beginning of the United States and its Constitution. Now, the United States, and we go through this in detail in the book, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions, we explain very clearly, very thoroughly, that the Constitution was not instituted by God. It was instituted by those men who signed the document. And it was created contrary to the advice given to us by God in the Bible, which you find in Deuteronomy 17:16. As a matter of fact, of the 4 or 5 different items that should have been put in there, only one was put in there, and they disregard it regularly, or at least consistently at this time in history. And if you want to find out more, you just have to go read the book or all the audios that we have up on that subject. But what we're talking about today is the core of the kingdom. Not the men who signed that document, but the men who signed documents that are in accordance with biblical principles. They don't sign them as contracts. They sign them as witness. That's why it's a congregation of record. It's a matter of establishing all things with the testimony of 2 or more people. And that is a principle that goes back to the Old Testament. It's repeated again in the New Testament. And to be a congregation of record means that you have to make a testimony. And it's the same as staking out the corners of your property or your jurisdiction or what you're establishing. And what you're establishing is not a corporate entity, but a gathering, a free congregation, a gathering of people in a small group. And you connect that group with documents that are signed by the minister you pick. You can change your minister anytime. He can't exercise authority. This is the basis of a free government. I used to write CORE, C-O-R. I'm now writing it consistently C-O-R-E, and I will change it everywhere I see C-O-R, because the critical element of this system, to be a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, in a free assemblies of the people, is the eldership of each core. And that eldership is the people. It is the head of every family. And that individual who is the head of a family, the representative of that family, is essential to a congregation of record. It is they are essential to a free government. We have a mindset still to this day, I see it with people forming cores, that the minister is core, to the congregation of record. No, the elder is core. The elders are up here in a congregation of record. The minister is down here. Christ expressed this with the washing of the feet thing. He is the servant. He is not higher than the elders. The elders are higher than him. Now, they can't exercise authority over him either, but they have the purse strings of the government of God. They have the power, the potestas of the government of God. If they don't think he's doing a good job, they withhold support. If that's not the form of government you have established, then you have not established a government according to God's grace. You've established a government where you give someone else the power of grace, the power of authority. And if you create offices of authority, men who seek power will seek office. It is a rejection of God to do it any other way. That is what they tell you in the Saul story, where they chose someone who could exercise authority. You don't do that even down on the core level. That minister is not in charge. You are in charge. You need to understand that. If you don't like the way the minister is doing things, rebuke him. Speak up. Speak up with one another. Tell him that we don't want to go this way. We want to go that way. And then he has to work it out and figure out, do I want to lead them this way? He has a conscience. He has a mind. But so do you, and God wants you to use it. He wants you to come together in free assemblies where you speak your mind. You take back your responsibilities. If you do not want to do that, you will not get anywhere. We're going to talk at least 2 more hours today on Liberty Radio Live on this subject of core, how we got to where we are. But the essential understanding is that you have gotten here because you have dropped the responsibility and you put somebody up on a pedestal or put them up in an office of authority, or you look to them to solve the problem or find the solution or lead you as some sort of guiding ruler. And that's where it begins. Tyranny begins there. You don't exercise authority over the other elders in your community or in your congregation of record or your core, and they don't exercise authority over you. You have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You have to work together. You have to be able to speak your mind. And you will step on people's toes. You will offend people. But we are about forgiveness. It is that every time you screw up, that gives everybody an opportunity of forgiveness. So they should go over and give you a big hug. Because now they get to forgive. And that's good, because then they can be forgiven. What do you think Jesus was talking about? He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Paul the Apostle was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It requires that you become doers of the word. It requires that you seek the kingdom and his righteousness. It requires that you tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You, the elders of every family out there, have to seek to come together in the name of Christ, in the character of Christ, in the way of Christ. That is what your job is. That is the job description of the elders. If the elders do not do this, there will be no liberty in the land, and the elders have not been doing this, and that is why there is no liberty in the land. It's not because of the Illuminati. It's not because of some vast conspiracy theory, not that there isn't one. There may be one. But the problem is you. You are not coming together in faith, hope, and charity. You are not being the government of God operating by love. That is the problem. You are the problem. Now, finding other men who don't want to be the problem, who want to do something different, who want to be righteous in the way they relate to the rest of the world, that's very hard. Well, I can find you all kinds of people who want to be out of the system, who don't want to be bossed around, but who wants to take the responsibility of being Christ-like, to come together for the purposes of serving others. Who wants to do that? You tell me. You show me. Because that's where we need to be going. If you don't want to go there, okay, I got it. I have a nice day. But this is core to seeking the kingdom. It's coming together. Many of you are spread out. You aren't even sometimes in the same state as somebody else. In some places, you know, if you're in Central Texas, not being in the same state with somebody else puts them very far away. But back east, there are lots of you. It's not hard to be a minister of a congregation of record at this time, but it's a great learning experience. One of our congregations, we talked to them about replacing their minister. Actually, we've got two that need a replacement of a minister, and we said, why not rotate the office for 6 months or a year? Everybody take turns being that minister, walking in those shoes. You'll understand his job better if you do it for a year. Now, in ancient Israel and ancient Teutons and ancient systems all across the world that operated in the same way, which you don't learn about in your public schools, even though it's the most predominant form of government throughout the history of mankind, believe it or not, we explain this in Thy Kingdom Come. We give you references to other scholastic authors who have come to the same determination of forming small groups of 10 families and picking a minister, and that minister gathering together with 9 other ministers like himself, and they picking a minister, and this network forms free societies if it is done according to the Spirit of Christ. And it has been done that way for centuries. And it is a individual journey together with other men in hopes that they will remain free souls under God, which is the definition of the kingdom of God. It is what you were told to seek. It is what John the Baptist was talking about. It is what Jesus Christ was talking about. It was for the living. It was not for the dead. All you have to do is start gathering together. We've started a little tiny network that's growing. It's not growing as fast as it needs because of the apathy of the individual elders. Not because of the Illuminati. Not because of the Rothschilds. Not because of the Federal Reserve, not because of the Social Security system, not because of the President of the United States or the United Nations or the Pope or anybody else. It's because you are not taking back the responsibility of gathering together and bearing witness to that gathering together and forming a network of a free society that is essential to having a free society. And when Christ comes back and finds out how lazy you have been, He is going to say, get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. And you'll say, what? All we had to do is believe? Who said that? That's not what Paul says. We've got 3 studies up now on Romans, Colossians, Ephesians, and we show you that is not what Paul was saying. It is not what Paul was doing. What Paul was doing was what I'm talking to you about. And he was out there appointing elders who had come together to form a free government that operated by faith, hope, and charity through a system of pure religion instead of the impure religion that you are now operating under, which is called Corbin. And you don't want to be in that system, some of you say, but you don't want to be in the Corbin of Christ either. You do not want to set the table of the Lord. You are a foolish virgin, and I'm being hard on you. I don't see any callers coming in. And I know some of you are listening. But that's okay. I'm on a roll. I'm going to be on a roll for the next 2 hours. Until some people start waking up to the fact that they need to actually seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness in day-to-day activities that strive towards that goal of righteousness, because Jesus said that was what you were supposed to be doing. And if you believe in Jesus, that's what you're going to be doing, and that's what we're going to find you doing. And that means you're going to be not forsaking the gathering together with others, but you're going to gather together and you're going to bear witness that I and this other guy agree that this third guy will be our minister, and we are going to license him by our permission that he could be a minister, and if anybody objects, we'll give him a piece of paper that says so. And we are going to strive to take care of one another without looking to any benefactors who exercise authority whatsoever. That means we're going to seek homeschooling, home health, home education and welfare of each other. We're going to be our agricultural extension agent to each other. We're going to not just hide in the cracks. We're going to try to find the other lost sheep who want to do the same, which is to take back your responsibilities. If you do that consistently, diligently, like Christ said, like John the Baptist said, like Moses had said, like all the prophets had said, then someday you might be free. We're going to talk about the history of your bondage and how it came about. And you're going to see, if you have eyes to see, that it's all your fault. That's whose fault it is. It's your fault. You've been slothful. And therefore, the slothful should be under tribute. And those of you who think you just escaped and you are now free or ambassadors, you've got another thing coming. Because if you're not doing what Christ did, which is to come to serve others, you're not his ambassador. If you are not diligently being a shepherd, a good shepherd, leading other sheep who hear his voice along the still waters and to green pastures, which is sheep on the desert cannot survive if they do not come together. Rain sheep who do not live in locked pens out there where we keep the sheep and the cows out on the church property. The gate is open. It was open all last night. It was open all yesterday. We haven't shut it in months. The only time we shut it usually is when other people's animals are coming down the road so that they don't come into the field. Other than that, it is open, but they do not leave. You know, you go around and find all the other ranchers. They have to fence their animals in. But out there, we don't fence them in. I mean, there's fences around there, but that's to keep the bad guys out. Of course, the coyotes and the bobcats and the mountain lions still get in. But the sheep wander out there safely most of the time because they stick together. And they just got a brain not even the size of a softball. And that's what you need to do. And that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to show you, is how that operates. How you can form a system, a network, they can help you be free in good times and bad times without entering into the bondage of the world, without being again entangled in the elements of the world. And how do you get entangled in those elements of the world? You sign things. That's right. You sign agreements. You make agreements with unbelievers who believe in forcing their neighbors to contribute to their welfare. You make agreements with men who call themselves benefactors in order to obtain their benefits from the Corbin of the Pharisees, which we call Social Security in this country, or social insurance, or whatever you want to call it, and to get free education, to get free health care, and you've all done this at one time. And you have to repent of that. That is what repenting means, because you are living by coveting your neighbor's goods, by desiring men who exercise authority to take away from your neighbor. That's what you've been desiring. And you need to repent of that. Someone said that's okay, that all you had to do is believe, but Jesus even says thou shalt not covet. Paul says thou shalt not covet. He tells us not to have anything to do with people who covet. Not to have any agreements with people who covet because they are unbelievers, because Christ said we weren't to do that. God said we weren't to do that. We were to simply love one another. And that is core to the kingdom. And in order to do that, you have to form a core of people, a congregation. And you have to go on record that I'm going to watch over these people. I don't have to pay in an X amount of dollars or a certain amount of funds or any of that stuff, but I have to be there. No one can exercise authority. I must exercise responsibility. That is core. So what you need to do is get on the website at hisholychurch.org. You need to get to be a member of the network. You can find networking. Even go to thelivingnetwork.org and join those local groups. Get a hold of those local groups. Start volunteering to be a personal contact minister. Start volunteering to become a part of a core. If your core start growing where you get more than 10, 15 families in a core, split, stay connected to your network of ministers, but split off and start creating more and more cores closer and closer to your home. Start projects where you go out and start bearing witness to the idea that you were willing to take care of your neighbor's needs in faith, hope, and charity. That doesn't mean go out and feed every wino on the corner. If they are willing to repent, okay. If they are not willing to repent, if they are not willing to change, then tell them, have a nice day. And go out there and look for people that are willing to gather together. You know, okay, you don't have a lot of needs to help each other out. Still contribute in order to get this message out to other people. To find those other lost sheep. They're out there in the wilderness. That's what the world has become, a wilderness of civil society. Wilderness because there are no righteous trees growing in the world. They are out there, but they're all scattered around. You have to find them. And if you come like Christ, that's what Christ came to do, to be fishers of men, to find those men who would be elders of core, the kingdom, who would come together not to exercise authority at one over the other, not to covet one another's goods, but to care for one another in faith, hope, and charity. That is so simple. You mentioned that to some of these guys who say all we have to do is believe, and they get absolutely berserko nuts about, oh, that's works. But Jesus said thou had to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. He tells you stories about the prodigal sons who comes back to be a servant. He tells you a story about the two sons who, one is, they are both told to go and do certain things, which Christ told us to do. One of them didn't do them, although he said he would. He said he believed. He said he was going to do his father's will. He sought to do his father's will, but he didn't do them. And the other one who rejected the idea of doing, but then repented and went and did it. If you're not going and doing it, you haven't repented. Which one was the son? The one who said he believed, but didn't do? Or the one that did? Well, it's very clear. Christ makes it clear. You are saved by real faith, and real faith produces works. And if you're not producing the works of gathering together in faith, hope, and charity to become the benefactors who do not exercise authority, but love one another enough to gather together and bear witness to that love on a day-to-day basis, then you're not seeking the kingdom, and you're not saved, and you don't believe in Christ. Because that's what he told them to do, and that's why you find him doing it. You are not being taught in your churches what the early church was doing. You're certainly not doing what the early church was doing. The early church was faith, hope, and charity. It operated according to the perfect law of liberty. It gathered together and was the social welfare, the pure religion of their own society. They were persecuted for this, especially when they made it against the law to have private religion. You had to belong to the public religion, the public social welfare systems, or they would persecute you. If you're persecuted for any other thing, you may not even be a Christian. You're just persecuted because you got your idol over here instead of their idol. You don't really believe in Jesus if you're not doing this. You're not really the prodigal son heading back unless you are doing this in some form. Now, I know there are people out there that they see, you know, a need and they fill it, but they're not very disciplined and organized about it. They're not gathering together as a peculiar people. They are still a scattered flock. They have some of the nature of the kingdom written in their hearts and they're acting upon it. I see this every day. But they need to come together in an international network of faith, hope, and charity. And that you have to see that vision and seek that. That is kingdom. That is what the early church was doing. And they needed that because there was a decline and fall of the Roman Empire. They were doing the same thing back then you see today in the news. And their system collapsed. And Christians thrived because they actually did what Christ said. They were doers of the word. And that's what I seek to tell you about. That's why I write and give away the books in PDF and HTML on the net of Thy Kingdom Come to show you how this has always been the way. It was the way that Moses taught. It's the way of Elijah. It was the way of John the Baptist. And it was the way of Christ in the early church. And you've gotten away from that. So stop blaming the world and start taking back your responsibilities. Actually repent, turn around, come together to be that body of Christ in faith, hope, and charity. Set aside all these other concocted religious doctrines and just come back together in the simplicity of Christ's love for you and for each other. This is key. This is key to the kingdom, and it's core to your salvation, because you have to become that doer of the word and not just a hearer only. It is what Christ has called us to.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about core. We're talking about congregations of record, congregations of testimony. What do they do? What should they do? We're talking about coming together to do what Christ said to do, to serve one another, to love one another, not to serve yourself. You don't come together because of the good feeling you get or anything like that. You come together because that is the nature of Christ, and you want to comply with the nature of Christ. And when you try to, you will come face to face with your own selfishness, your own pride, your own arrogance, your own lack. You have to be saved by Christ coming in you, and you must become compatible. And so therefore you must regulate or govern yourselves in a way that is cast up. Walk the path of Christ, which he came to serve others. He preached a government. Christ's government, which should be what the church is Christ's government, is an alternative government to that of Caesar's. We don't do away with Caesar, but we do away with the need of Caesar, because Caesar is a man who calls himself a benefactor, but he provides for you benefits that he takes away from his neighbor. This is called progressivism. It's called socialism. It's called communism. But it is anti-Christ. But much of what we see today in democracy is also anti-Christ, because democracies lead to socialism and socialism to communism. And these are just labels that we put on things, rather than the individualism as free souls under God. So you have to become an intentional community. This is a term that's come up in our modern language. You actually intend diligently to follow in the ways of Christ. And this is why you come together in core, because that is the key building block within the concept of the kingdom, is where families come together, not in a contractual binding, but in a binding of love. So you have to actually come together in order to create those bonds of love. As needs arise and you help one another, the bonds of love will grow because you live and work together to accomplish the kingdom of God, which you cannot do without God living in you. So the kingdom of heaven is within you, but as it is in you, it will come out. And this is a very important concept, from within to out, not reaching out to those outside of you and taking from them so that you can have it within. In other words, most people go to church in order to get a good feeling, to get a feeling of righteousness, that they have gone to church. They have sung songs. They have talked about God. Well, I got that done. Now I'll go do whatever I want. I can't go out of certain parameters or I'll start feeling guilty, and I don't want to feel guilty. And we're always a little self-motivated, but we have to put away the things of a child and become adults, elders of our community, families. We want to raise our children. When you're not raising children, you're raising adults. So anyway, you come together. And now we're going to be turning the world upside down. The world now is top down authority. I mean, you have the illusion that you vote somebody in and then so therefore you have your input. But no, it's still top down authority. As soon as they get in, they tell you what you have to do. You want to do it the other way around. So the minister you're looking for is not a ruler leader, not a leader ruler, not anybody but someone you respect, a respectful servant, someone who you say, this guy is willing to do the job, he's doing a good job, but I am not going to relinquish any of my responsibility to him, but I am going to work with him to get the job of core done. And the core is this corner building block with Christ in it. And where does Christ dwell? Does he dwell in your churches? Does he dwell in your buildings? Does he dwell in your meeting room? No, he dwells in you. So every elder has a tremendous responsibility of service in his love for one another. And all the minister is someone he respects or trusts enough to facilitate that love that he has for his neighbor. So, okay, now what are you going to be dealing with? You're the government. Now, there was the Corban of the Pharisees that made the word of God to none effect. Well, there's the Corban of Christ that does make it to effect, and that's where you take care of the needy amongst your society, the widows, the orphans, or whoever are needy, in faith, hope, and charity, and not by force, fear, or violence. That is the Corban of Christ. The force, fear, or violence, the control, the regulated, the compelled, that's the Corban of the Pharisees. You don't want to be a part of that. Okay, so you're going to tend to the daily ministration, but you get a core. Nobody needs help. Everybody's pretty independent. Everybody's doing okay. So what can you do to start cultivating the spirit that you need to have living within you and therefore within your core, therefore within your congregations of cores, in order to manifest righteousness and the kingdom of God, which is what you're seeking, the kingdom of God and his righteousness? The early Christians were organized, but they were organized from the bottom up. So therefore you come together, and that's why we talk about a congregation of record. It's 5-10 families coming together and saying, we're going to watch each other's back. We're going to love one another. We're going to love our neighbor as ourself. So what does a core do? What does it look like? What are some of the activities of a core? And this is too much to mention in one place, so we're going to go kind of fast. One thing, in a core, everything is done as a team. Okay, you guys decide on a course of action. Two of you do it together. At least. You can all do it together. Maybe you can break up in little teams, and we'll show you how that will work. Okay, so, but it's a group effort. You already have family. Now we're going to have group. But we're going to have, you know, this group hug of righteousness. Okay, so you're health, education, and welfare. You're the new government. You're the government of righteousness. You're the government of God. So you're going to have to deal with health. So everybody healthy in your community, everybody healthy in your core. Chronic gastrointestinal problems are rampant. Cancer is rampant. Heart disease is rampant. Obesity is rampant. If anybody in your community or congregation is overweight, you should be willing to help them. They need different foods. A lot of the foods that we have today actually contribute to weight gain, including aspartame. There are articles out that will show you that aspartame actually induces weight gain in many people. Now, everybody's chemistry is a little bit different. And the food you're eating, this has to do with health. You're the food inspectors now. Now, don't rule over each other, but try to make and facilitate the opportunity of eating better food. 80% of the fish that you consume in America today is imported, They are full of toxins. 50% of them are rejected when tested. They're not all tested. And some of the toxins that they are finding, they weren't testing for before, so they may have been in there all along. So are you going to start the testing facilities? No, you're going to start looking for food that is better, more wholesome. Where does this begin? GMOs. What are the GMOs? I'm again, don't turn this into religion. Your health, education, and welfare, you're not rulers over the other members of your community. Start facilitating the opportunity of getting better food. CSAs, community-supported agriculture, making contacts. This is going to take a lot of learning skills. We don't know how to do this, but you can start. You know, when do you have your meetings? Saturday? Sunday? Everybody thinks they have to go back to Sabbath. The Sabbath was a day of rest. You should be thinking about what you're going to do the first work day of the week, which is Sunday. That's really where you should have your group meetings, because your Sabbath is individual family time. Maybe have somebody over, have a meal, have rest. Everybody calm down, communicate with God, listen to what God has to say. Church is a job. When you gather together in your congregation, meet, hug each other, whatever you do, say some prayers together, bring a potluck, do it, but then start strategizing what you're going to do. Don't be swallowed up by conspiracy theories or distractions or talking about what the bad guys are doing. Start talking about what you can do. What can you do as a group that will enhance your lives and the lives of the community around you? Will enhance not only your congregation, that it becomes 10, 20 people and divides off into another congregation and another, but all the congregations of record. And I've talked about having a card where you guys all have a card. You can print up 100 of them, 500 of them. It has a name and number on it, maybe even an address, but web page, that sort of thing. And it's your card. When you talk to somebody, then you talk about Kingdom and they want to know more, hand it to them. You can set up studies groups. And we're starting to do audios where you can use these in your study groups. We have study groups on the phone. And they're not real lively yet, but we get more people in them, we can get them really lively. And we can get better and better at it. Health. Lots of alternative health remedies. The network can help you with that. Everybody should become more and more knowledgeable about things that they shouldn't eat, things that they shouldn't do, vaccines, things like that. But it's still an individual choice. You let everybody in your congregation come along at their own pace. Economy. Jobs. Business. You're the unemployment commission. You're the small business administration. You have lots of skills you're bringing, and because you're coming to a bigger network, there's lots of skills out there. You have to become active in that government because you are the government. And if you're not willing to, you better just get used to tyranny, because the slothful should be under tribute. They will be under tribute, period. Education, homeschooling for you. Okay, you don't have a lot of kids in your congregation. Those that you do, there's maybe some single parents, help them homeschool. But also reach out to other homeschooler groups in your area and start helping them. You have a skill, share a skill. C-Scope's coming here. Educate yourself. Reese Commission says that people have been intentionally altering your school books for over 100 years. For over 100 years, they have been doing this, intentionally gathering together and conspiring to do this. Reese Commission proved this. It's a matter of public record. Nothing's changed. It goes on. C-Scope, like we've talked about before, and so many other things. They don't just go with one plan. They know this one may get shot down, but they got another one coming along right behind it. Okay, economy. Understand economy. Create a Christian economy. Don't start going gangbusters. We're going to have to start small on a lot of these things. And one of the ways is we'll talk about food banks. 25% of the population is now getting food stamps, which is just a gigantic bread line that you can't see. It's an invisible bread line. It's over 47 million Americans are, actually the number I guess is supposed to be over 50 million Americans are receiving food stamps, which is, again, like I say, this invisible breadline. Okay, there are food banks out there already existing. You don't have to go out and start a food bank. That's a huge, big project. What you can do is get together as a group and start asking people, do you want to donate to the food bank? And you guys go out and collect it. You go out and collect it. You set up names and addresses of people that will do this, stores that will do this. They call it gleaners sometimes. They'll go to stores and stuff that is getting out of date. They'll go pick it up and they'll share it with other people. They can't sell it anymore. They're just going to throw it out. You can take it. Some of it you can gather up and take out to local farmers in the CSA, and they'll take it and they'll trade back to you for other things, and then you'll be making contacts with them and bringing in better foods. So go out and find out who the closest CSAs are, the people developing in our network. Get on the network and we'll find and we'll connect with more and more different people that are already doing this. Help us make those connections. You go out to the canvas the neighborhood and say, who wants to donate to the food bank? You guys go all go at one time and you collect it. You get your little t-shirts to identify yourselves. We can get you ID cards to identify yourselves a part of that congregation if you start becoming really involved in the network. And you go out, you collect that, you show up at the food bank with a truckload of food. You do it on some sort of regular basis. And that's your church meeting. Your church meeting should be service. And so there you go. Their service. You didn't have to start a trust in a local food bank. It's still going out in that food bank's name and everything. But those people at the food bank know you guys bring in a truckload every week. Do you have to go out and buy the groceries? No. You go out and collect it. So now you're making connection with the other charitable people in your community, taking and providing a service to the people who are actually doers in your community. You're creating the extended network. They don't have to come into the core. When they're ready, let them come in. And then your cores will grow. Be the service. Don't just tell people, let's all get together and talk about it. Let's do it. Simple, easy, doesn't take up huge amounts of time. If you work as a team, it'll go quick. And you can make this happen. But you don't want to just do there. You want to have a number of different projects. Every community has somewhere a retirement home somewhere around them. Every community has old people. So you can start making a note, mapping out your community. Who are the old people? Who are the crippled people? Who are the people that might need help? Who's the people on depressant drugs or antidepressant drugs? Who are the people who use a cane? Who are the people who might need help? You map your local communities. Your community watch, but not just for criminals and burglars, but for neglect, because we're all neglectful criminals. And we've been neglecting one another. So you start becoming the go-to guy in your community to know this. Preparing for disasters. Set up a deal. Find other people who want to do this. You all, every one of you, become organizers. And then you go out and they say, wow, who did that? And because you're doing it as a team, if you get one guy in your group and he is the organizer for everything. No, but you do it as a team, then his job becomes easier. I've told you before about you're supposed to sew the linens of your Levite minister. That means give them the covering. Well, they're not supposed to sweat in that covering, and they won't if you're working as a team. If every one of the elders in your congregation are contributing some time, some effort, some making calls, going around, somebody's got to pick up, whatever it is. I mean, we had one group going out and cutting firewood. A lot of work in cutting firewood. Great. But the thing is, you want to get the rest of the community involved. And food banks are a great way to do it. Litter control. Cleaning for Christ. You've all become CCCs. Community Cleaners for Christ. And you pick an area, a park. And you go out as a team, all wearing your t-shirts. And somebody will say, what are you guys doing here? Oh, we're cleaning up the park. Now, we're helping. We come through here once, and that's your church meeting. You guys walk through the park and talk about these things while you're cleaning up. Do as you go. Go as you do. So, and you can actually just pick a street. Pick a street that's kind of messy and go there with garbage bags, with you all wearing your his church sweatshirts or t-shirts, and people will see it. You don't go out there and preach at them and everything all the time. Be doers. And say, yeah, you want to become a doer? Get them another little color t-shirt until so that someday that they, if they become a part of the congregation, they'll get your t-shirt. It really looks nice. You know, they can have kind of a shabbier color. you know, fluorescent orange or something, you know. But anyway, you could all make these, you know, orange jackets, emergency worker, you know, FEMA emergency worker. You don't maybe not want to put FEMA on there, Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary, but you get those things, and you'd be surprised. You can walk right through roadblocks wearing things like that. They say, oh, well, he's official. We've seen this. We've already done this. Okay, homeschool, like I say, have a skill, share a skill. Get involved with the homeschoolers in your community. They're already doing it. That's like I say, get involved with the other charitable people in your community. Become Christ in your community. Become the representatives of Christ in your community. Homeschoolers, we just put up a thing on our Preparing You site that points out that when it comes to SAT scores, it comes to reading, writing, and arithmetic, that we score 84% while the public schools score 50% SAT scores. Homeschoolers score even above private schools. There's over 2 million homes that are already homeschooling. They're saving the government $16 billion, yet we're still paying the taxes on it. Everybody should be promoting homeschool. Get your kids out of the schools. Get your kids in your congregation writing kids in other congregations. Let them even call each other and talk on the phone. Have a conference call for kids so that they get and they talk and they say, hey, I'm so-and-so from Carolina. I'm so-and-so from Texas. I'm so-and-so. You guys have to start being it. Be diligent doers, not just sitting there studying and reading the word. Be the word. Bring your kids along on these gatherings of food, you know, like blankets. You might be able to get blankets from a company. Make some phone calls. But find the need and fill the need. Don't just go out and get blankets. Find the need and fill the need. A lot of these projects can be overlapping. Dress it and keep it. There's another t-shirt. Dress it and keep it. And you're out there, that you're doing your gardening. One of you may have a yard that you can turn into a garden, or has a garden already that you can expand on. Maybe there's some community land around that you can use to garden. Maybe there's somebody who can't keep up their yard and you offer to help them. You start putting ornamental food shrubs in their yard, or trees in their yard. You plant a tree in their yard and you do it as a group. You know, they talk about going out and planting trees as some big group and everything. You just do it to your local community. You're cleaning up your local community. It'd be great if you were all on one block. Maybe you're spread out all over the place. But I tell you that if you start being of service to your community, more people will start coming in. You see this in the TED group videos that you look around, that people are enhancing their community. There's all kinds of people that have left the church, have thrown Christianity out, because they think Christianity is what they see going on in the local churches. But these people are going out and they're making parks and they're making a difference and they're changing things and they're active. They're not sitting on the couch. They're active. This is who you want to make your extended network. They don't know Christ. They don't want to even talk about Christ. They don't even want to mention the Bible. They think that's all a bunch of hooey. But you see them doing what Christians should be doing sometimes. Those are the kingdom tracks. And that's what you have to look. And you're going to find a lot of damaged people with a lot of goofy ideas and everything. And let God sort them out. You start letting God work in you by becoming a servant to your community. Not serving their wickedness, but serving righteousness wherever you can. Evangelize with your deeds. Don't beat each other over the head. Have your meetings also in your study groups, and you go over these things and get organized in them so that you don't just keep plugging along and it becomes boring. Make it exciting. Figure out ways. And then share the ways that you figure out with the other congregations. Get enthusiastic for Christ. Become the good Samaritans of your community. That's why he's giving you these parables. Sow faith. Show that you are the Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary in your community. And people will, these are the Egyptians. Everybody out there, they're still apart. They're in bondage in Egypt. They're the Egyptians. But when bad things start happening, earthquakes, whatever it is, fire, flood, illness in your community, whatever, you're there. You know, every time they turn around, every time there's a problem, you want to be there as a team. And when you do that, you will find more team members. This is not about feeling self-righteous because you figured out that everybody's in bondage and they haven't. It isn't about conspiracy theories. It's about righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's what you should be doing in your meetings. That you should be enhancing righteousness in yourselves, in your children, in your community, by being Christ-like in every aspect of the needs of your community. You're the government of God. Be the government of God. Seek righteousness. Seek it in everything that you do, and do everything you can. Don't wear yourselves out. Don't wear your minister out. Support one another. And you will start to filter out those that are not really seeking the kingdom but are seeking self-righteousness. Don't abandon them. Let them flee you if they don't want to go the ways of righteousness. And then we'll talk about sacrificing the red heifer, which is partly what I'm talking about. The sacrificing of the red heifer is that extended community, going out there and helping them. You know, so we're looking at food, better sources of food, CSAs, home gardening, backyard gardening, community gardening, learning about seeds. There are people in your community that know how to do a lot of things. They have skills. You facilitate them coming and giving the lecture on gardening. They're not even a member of your congregation, but they have the Spirit of Christ in them. They want to share their skills with others. They want to make the world a better place. So you give them an honorary t-shirt, a little different color, so that you always have the t-shirt of the core that signify that you guys are actually the members of the core. Don't be vain about it. But the point is, they eventually say, I want one of those. I want, maybe it's the hat. Maybe you all get a hat and they only get a t-shirt. And they become walking billboards for Christ and the kingdom and the network. You can do this. And those of you who are doers should be a part of that. Don't try to bring them into your core. Try to bring your core to them. Ask not what you can do for what your community can do for you, but ask rather what you can do for your community, and your community will grow. And it will grow with doers. Not with just hanger-ons and self-righteous, you know, worry about this and, oh, you know, Nibiru's coming and all these things. Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about what you're doing today. Is it righteous? Is it Christ-like? Is it of service? Not the church services you see where everybody goes to feel good, but the church services where you go to be like Christ. I tell you, when you're out there doing this work as a team, you are not only in church, you are church. So be the government of God. Be the core of his kingdom. Be the elders and families who are priests and kings of righteousness, not just self-righteousness. So anyway, we'll talk more about these and other opportunities that will come up, and you report back to me all the new things and great ideas that you have come up with, and we will spread that good news through the network, through the extended network, into the whole world. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.